Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hey there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. That's me, Chris Alford, and I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California. As always, I really love to send people over to the website so they can check out Epiclesis and what in the world an Epiclesis is, and more about us, and most especially how to find out information about worshiping with us, which I'd love for you to do on a Sunday morning at 10:30. We're in the Carmichael area. I love to have this guest on Ancient Future Faith, and back again with us in the studio is Brenda Zamorano. Brenda, welcome, and how are you?
Hey, happy July.
Brenda, you have been a guest here on Ancient Future Faith several times, and folks, listen, you need to zip over to the Epiclesis website. That's epiclesis.org, E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org, to check out some of the previous podcasts that Brenda and I have done. Wonderful conversations, if I don't say so myself, about a wide variety of topics. Brenda is a biblical prayer counselor at Hope in Life Ministry in Folsom. She's been a wonderful help to me and to many who I have sent your way. And recently, Brenda, you did a retreat for the women at our church, yes?
Yes, I did. It was an amazing time. I must confess, when I was first asked months and months and months ago, I had initially said no because I have had experiences with women's retreats that were a little rough. And yet when the invitation came the second time, I thought, well, actually, I didn't think. Holy Spirit said, why not? So I really felt that he wanted me to be there. And now that I'm on the other side of it, I am so glad I said yes. It was a powerful, amazing time.
The women have reported back. It's been nothing but glowing reports and saying how wonderful it was. Before we get to it, though, I didn't expect this to come up, but it's something that I've heard so many times in ministry. And you just said it yourself. Let's speculate a minute.
Okay.
Sometimes women's retreats have the reputation for being difficult or stirring up stuff. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but yes, women's retreats kind of have that reputation. And we have had women not want to go to our retreats. And we did a little gentle coaxing and they agreed and loved it afterwards. But we've had some folks say, no, I don't want to go to. I had a terrible experience with a women's retreat at another church. Why do you suppose that is?
I can say, and something that I spoke to on this retreat, not excusing the broken behavior in women, but what we learned is that there is a special hatred in the enemy toward women. And that special hatred hits up against her insecurities, her fears, and often it navigates through like cliques and special groups. And so you have women that just feel like they're on the outside looking in.
Yeah, that's something that I hear. And I guess it can be a tough time, can it, when women get together. And we've said this before, sometimes women are the worst to other women. And that can happen, I guess, on a women's church retreat too,
And I find that, like the Apostle Paul has written to all of us, he said, I don't even compare myself to myself. We women have a vulnerability and a temptation to compare us to the other women around us. And it's like we can have this emotional scorecard, if you will. And we quickly do this grading thing, and then the intimidation can set in. That brings division and misunderstanding. And I have to tell you, this is my statement, there was no weirdness at all at this retreat. Everyone just enjoyed connecting with everyone else. We took turns where we sat in our meal time, getting to know one another.
I like that. Folks, you're listening to an interview with Brenda Zamorano. She's my friend and a frequent guest here on Ancient Future Faith. She's a biblical prayer counselor, full of wisdom and good advice, and also just a great friend to have on this program. I'm glad that you're back, Brenda.
Thank you.
You recently led a women's retreat for the women at Epiclesis. That's the church where I'm the pastor. And I thought, you know, I've gotten so many fantastic reports. We've got to take some of that good stuff and share it with our radio and podcast audience. Brenda, why not start with just some of the basics? What was the name of the retreat or the principal focus? And then maybe let's break it down just a little bit.
The theme of the retreat was, does hope overcome fear?
Okay, does hope overcome fear? Okay.
And we began looking at the two trees in the center of the garden.
Okay, going way back then, right?
At the beginning of the beginning.
Yeah.
Because every one of us in 2022 is influenced by what happened in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3.
Yeah.
Those two chapters are now chapters. Because what God made very clear is everything in that majestic garden. Adam and Eve, enjoy, you multiply, you rule and reign over this beautiful space. In the center of this garden, there are two trees, and those two trees, one carries life, the other, if you eat its fruit, you shall die.
Mm, yeah.
So what we looked at is the question, did Eve's decision in the garden to take that fruit of knowledge of good and evil, does it affect me in 2022?
Wow, that's profound. And you said that you even in the worship space, the meeting space there at one point, and I want us to describe this in greater detail later, but you even had some depictions of these trees.
Yes.
And so you just said a minute ago that those chapters in Genesis 2 and 3 are now chapters. Why is that? Break that down a little bit for us.
In the beginning, there was nothing but void and chaos.
Mm.
And it says, God spoke light, and there was light. So we watch this amazing God speak, and he begins to create and establish day and night. He established waters. He established foliage. He creates all the animals, the fish in the sea. We're just watching that in the beginning, there was a creator. That's really important. There was not an explosion from which you came. You have been created by God. And so in that garden, the decision was given over to Adam and Eve. How will they do this? It's called free will. Mm. And free will is very sacred to God. So every person hearing our broadcast has a free will. And that free will, what you choose day by day, impacts your future. And what they decided, Eve and then Adam, to take that knowledge of good and evil and eat it, the Bible says it changed everything in them.
Indeed.
Because they instantly become self-conscious and fearful. Because scripture first mentioned in scripture, fear is mentioned, Genesis chapter 3.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Adam was afraid, so he ran and he hid.
And they hid. So the connection then, at least at the retreat, and it sounds like we all need to make it, is to remember that we are created in the image of God. We are created to be in communion with him. And because he is creative, we also are creative.
Yes.
And God puts choices before us. And the choices that Adam and Eve made reflected not only on their lives, but ours. And we have choices to make. And this business of fear coming into the world goes right back to that point. That's, I think, important for folks to remember.
It began in the garden. It's important that we all recognize God did not create fear. Fear doesn't come from God. Fear came from the knowledge of good and evil. Imagine what we would feel if there were no fear in us.
And then it arrives. And then it arrives.
And then suddenly, yes, you're full of it.
Yeah.
And you run and you hide and you try to cover yourself. And then you begin to blame and find fault.
So there are the places then that you are applying these things really in a practical way to women's lives.
Oh, right now. Yeah. Absolutely. Because the scripture that headlined our weekend is Proverbs 13:12.
Which says,
hope deferred makes my heart sick.
And why was that the theme?
Because fear, beginning in the beginning, impacted how Eve was going to walk out the rest of her days. And all of us women have inherited that fallen state called original sin.
What does that have to do with hope deferred, though? What's the connection there?
Because hope deferred is all about walking in the intention of God being good to me, believing that God's goodness for me is personal. And what fear does is separates me in my heart from believing that God is going to be good to me.
Yeah.
And then I turn inward and I rely on me.
And then that other little list of things that you said you have noticed sometimes from not so successful women's retreats.
Yes.
Where we start comparing. Yes. And we get out our spiritual checklist and we start wondering about their lives versus ours and we devolve into our little cliques and so on and so forth.
The point is that hope is vital to believing in God's goodness. Hebrews says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for.
Yeah.
So the enemy hates your hope. So what we wanted to do as a group of ladies is take time out and be brave enough. It takes courage to sit before the Lord and one another and look at the places in my life, in my past, in my experience where my heart has been sick, because I had hope for something that was going to be so good. And it broke down, and actually the opposite happened.
All right, now I'm going to stop you right there and ask you in just a jiffy how you went about doing that at the retreat, because folks at home may want to walk through a similar exercise. But first, let me remind everybody they're listening to Brenda Zamorano. She's my guest today on Ancient Future Faith. I'm Chris Alford, the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith Christian church, a Bible-believing, Jesus-loving church in Sacramento, California. Would love for you to zip over to the website at epiclesis.org. Find out more. Just before the break, Brenda, I was suggesting that you might want to share with folks who are listening how you went about getting the women to do that kind of self-inventory.
So number one, I shared that currently Mayo Clinic and some other hospitals have come up with a modern diagnosis called broken heart syndrome.
Wow.
And gave lots of stats about how an emotional, mental disappointment affects the human body.
Okay.
When I carry emotional, mental pain and I don't deal with it, there's evidence that my heart, my physical organ of my heart, can be impacted. The rhythm of it, the condition of it, and all that the experts could come up with to size it up was broken heart syndrome.
Wow.
How wise the word of God is. Because the word of God says, Proverbs 4, verse 23, watch over your heart with all diligence.
Yes.
For out of your heart flows all the issues of life.
Wow. Wow, right on the button, yes. And so that was the first step to make that connection. And then you walked them through a kind of self-assessment or something where they were able to think and write some things down, is that right? Or look back over their lives and consider those questions?
So healing in any form requires, number one, recognition.
Why?
Because I can't be healed of what I'm not honest about.
There you go.
Denial keeps me stuck in pain.
And you know, there's a weird branch of thought in Christianity that, and I think it's some of this word faith junk that says, oh, we mustn't name that thing or it will have some sort of power over me. What theological garbage is that?
See, our God is a God of reality.
Yes.
When he went to the pool there, 38 years, he's lying by this pool. Jesus, what did he say to him? Do you want to be well? Jesus didn't act all fake and phony like he wasn't there paralyzed with all those. No, Jesus speaks to reality. He wants us to be men and women of reality. Here's the truth of my condition. So what we did, we gave them an exercise where they spent some time writing down either the names or the moments of those hope-deferred places in their lives. Because what I want to remind all of you is this, your life from the moment of conception in the womb until you're with the Lord is before the Lord.
Yeah.
So see, with him, there's no past. And anything you let go unhealed in the past affects this present moment.
Mm. Could you just give a couple of general examples of what one of those hope-deferred moments might be for someone?
I'll say this, that we were created by God to receive comfort and nurture and affection. And so in my own family, my sweet dad was a teenager dropped on the beaches of Normandy. So my dad's life experience altered and wounded his capacity to give affection.
Yes.
So he has his children, and his inability to express affection, it had impact on us.
I'm sure.
And so the enemy wants to take opportunity with these real life experiences. And then I know in my life, just want to shut me down. Just put up a wall of defense and act like I don't need it.
So the women are writing these specific, maybe even tough places. And then I want you to tell folks what they did with them.
Yes.
And this was really sort of the climax of the whole weekend, the high point, where they had some choices to make. And please don't leave out the bit about where you felt like the Lord was telling you to do a particular thing.
Yes.
I want folks to hear that.
So I had brought with me two very large pictures I had done. One was of the knowledge of good and evil, that tree.
Okay.
With science, psychology, education, medicine, family, all the different fruits hanging on that tree that have been poisoned by that knowledge of good and evil. Second tree, the tree of life. And that tree, so gorgeous, so beautiful, it almost looked like the Holy Spirit was coming out of the center of it. So we taught that through the weekend. Saturday night, we erected a cross.
Okay.
And that cross.
An actual cross.
Yes, an actual wooden cross was beautifully done and put it there between those two trees. Mm-hmm. And so we led the ladies to have this time as worship was just quietly being played. And they wrote down those hope deferred, broken hearted moments in their lives.
Gotcha.
That they didn't want to leave with. And then my precious friend Lorraine and I, we stood behind the cross to hold it because they took turns coming up. We had a nail and a hammer, and they nailed, boom, 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 that piece of paper onto that cross.
Wow.
One by one, one by one. Some women were saying, I don't know if I can. It's all I've ever known. It was such a holy moment.
Wow. Wow.
Such a profound moment. And other sisters got up around them and helped them come up to the cross. And others had said to me later, thank you that you were standing behind the cross. I knew I wasn't alone in what I had to put on the cross.
Wow.
So during that moment,
yes,
Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, go get red paint.
Red paint.
Red paint. So I just quietly slip over to the table where all the crafts materials were. Big brush, get red paint. And when all the ladies were done, I walk up and I begin to take red paint and cover everything that had been written. And it was such a profound moment.
Wow.
To see visually the blood of Jesus applied to those broken-hearted, hope-deferred places.
Yes, ma'am.
And then we left them up there as a visual for them to see what the blood of Jesus does for you and for me.
You said, and I really love this idea and appreciate you doing it, you also encouraged the women to take a picture of that. And that really points to a really important principle. Why did you ask them to take a picture of the finished cross, as it were?
I said to them later, what you've done tonight, you've transacted with heaven. And I said, when you get home, the enemy will tempt you to believe that nothing happened.
Yes.
I want you to take a picture. This is an altar that we've set before the Lord. We've been here to meet with him, and we will not be the same. So when you're tempted to pick back that lie again, that offense, that memory of that thing that's happened, look at that picture and remember it is reckoned dead on that cross.
Wow. Christian friend, especially female Christian friend, women who are listening, we've said some things today that are really especially aimed at women and talk to and speak to some problems that may be a little bit unique to women in some ways. And right now, you're hearing these words and they've really hit home. Brenda, what would you say to the woman who's listening right now who's wondering if there are some of these hope-deferred places and what to do with them?
I would say, I would invite you to be touched by the truth that Holy Spirit showed me. Yes, a woman was in a garden, and I've asked many times, why did the serpent go to the woman and not the man? And the Lord opened up my understanding. She was the grand finale of his creation. She was magnificent and beautiful, created to carry life, bring forth life, and nurture life. And he hated her.
And all that she represented.
And all that would come after her. And yet there was a young woman that was coming who would be encountered by an angel. And she would carry the very Son of God, who would come and kneel in another garden and wrestle with the will of God being done and hang on another tree for the salvation of us all.
Brenda Zamorano, always a great blessing. And I'm grateful for you taking the time to being with us today on Ancient Future Faith. Thank you. Will you come back again?
I love it. Thank you so much.
I love it too. Folks, until we gather around for another edition of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to be thinking about this. Surely, the road to our Christian future does run through our Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the Evangelical Church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi folks, it's Pastor Chris with one more word before we sign off. The long season after Pentecost is the perfect time to experience worship at Epiclesis or maybe jump into a small group. There's always something happening at Epiclesis, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. Think about joining us for worship this summer. You'll be warmly welcome. As always, find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's EPICLESIS.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.